plastic bag, drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel this so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under screens and no one seems to hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you, 'cause there's a spark in you, you just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just on the night, like the 4th of July, 'cause baby you're a firework. Come on, show 'em what you work, make 'em go as you shoot across the sky.
Darlings, how are you today? It is Wednesday, September 25th, and I cannot believe how fast this month has gone. You're listening to the City Spell Show, and I've got the beautiful, the talented, the titillating, and the... Sorry, that was an evil laugh, but the effervescent Teresa. Hello, my darling. How you doing?
You make me laugh. And we also have the awesome, multi-talented, gorgeous, titillating, and effervescent Lisa Lee.
Oh, naughty tonight. Naughty, naughty.
We are. It's funny night. Hee-hee.
You're adorable. So, T, what you been up to?
Well, on the... The solstice.
Yes.
Brain cramp.
I know.
Me and the girls, you know, those who honor dead things, we went down to the crossroads where Crow River and Mississippi meet. And we were doing our thing down there, blessing the land. And oh, my God, the water on the Crow River. Oh, it was like 10 feet from the shoreline, actually, where it should be. It was 10.
We had not had enough liquid.
It is so low down there. It is scary. So we did that, and we were doing our drumming, and then we went back to Shelley's house, and we had a bonfire. And that night, I got home, and I'm sitting there laying in bed, and I'm going, "What the hell is burning in this house?" And I just keep smelling this burning scent, till I realized that it was me smelling like a bonfire.
Nice.
Duh. Yes. So that was the excitement, other than us cooking.
You had a blonde moment.
Yes, I did.
Yes, cooking. That was awesome.
That was the funnest crap in the world.
Cooking and burning are not the same thing.
Shut up. There was no burning involved in the cooking. Although we did take a picture with a fire extinguisher.
Yes. But not because it was needed.
No. No.
It's just to be funny.
So T, what?
Go ahead. I was just going to say, so T and I are testing some of the, we're going to test all of them, but testing the recipes that have been submitted for the Cityspell cookbook. And obviously everybody knows that I can't cook, but T is an amazing cook.
Oh, shush.
Oh, seriously, I hate pork, and I loved what you made. Or what we made.
Yes. Pork tenderloin.
I chopped stuff. And stirred.
Yes, she chopped and stirred very wonderfully. And while she was stirring with boiling liquids, she didn't burn the bottom.
Yay me.
And she made an awesome little place setting and all that stuff. So she made everything look really pretty.
And then you took awesome pictures. But yeah. that was so much fun. I had a blast. And like I said, I don't like pork. I mean, I love bacon, don't get me wrong. But wow. So good.
Yes, it's all in how you cook it and season it and everything. And then I made my fabu concocted in my head curried pumpkin soup that you love so much.
Which I had again today.
Ah, yes. And you chop those veggies very well, although I was nervous about you cutting your finger off in the one picture when you're looking at me and the knife's going down and I see your finger under it. And I'm going, jeez. So you did very well. It was very fun. And Tom got fed well.
Yes.
It was a very happy camper.
Yes. It was a fun night.
Yes, it was. So what awesome thing did you do? I know.
Well, on Thursday, I took my Reiki 1 class. And it was cool. I have a certificate and everything. I should take a picture of it. But it was so cool. It was just amazing. It was kind of life-changing, to be honest with you, because I got attuned, and it was just so, so cool. My teacher and mentor, Karen Ritchie, she is a master teacher, and the class that she put on, I can't even begin to tell you how just wonderful it was. And I can't wait. I'm going to do Reiki 2 in like a week, I think it is. And then I don't know how long it takes before you can do Reiki 3 and then your master's. I'm not sure about that. I think it's like a year or something. I don't know. You would know more than I.
Well, I haven't done my master's at all yet. I have not found the person I want to connect to yet to do it.
I'm speechless on how cool it really is. And I was getting pictures and seeing colors. It was very psychedelic. It was so cool. And then, you know, because you expend so much energy, she said, now just go home and drink lots of water and rest. Well, I went home and I crashed from like 5:30 until almost 10. Got up, drank a bunch of water, and fell asleep again until the next day. It was crazy.
And you put your hot little hands on me.
Yes, and I put my little hot hands on you, too. I like it.
It was fabulous. Made me all tingly.
What else?
I know. I'm a dirty little slut. What can I say? Okay.
Yes, you are. I worked at the theater over the weekend and watched a lot of television. I can't think of a lot. I live a pretty relaxed and chill life, so I haven't been doing much. Oh, I went on a 3-mile walk with Ashley last night. That was cool.
Yeah.
And that's really about it. I've got nothing.
Yeah, see, I'm just trying to go back into our little discussion on Facebook where we're reminding each other what we were doing. How bad is that? So tell me about what this song selection you had for tonight is about, because you were going to tell me on the radio, and dang it, I want to know, because you're driving me nuts with it.
Okay, it's a song called, I don't remember what it's called. Okay, so about, I don't know, a year ago, maybe, I don't even remember where I was. It was a coffee shop, and you know how they've got, like, coffee shop music playing?
Yeah.
Well, I heard this song, and I didn't listen to the words, but I was just like, this is a really beautiful song. And so I caught the keywords to it so I could look it up later. And just, it was so beautiful. And so I found it, and I listened to it, and I was like, oh, this is just so beautiful. Well, last night, I was watching some show, I don't remember, and there was a commercial for some, like, country song talent thingy or whatever, and the people were playing that song, and I was like, oh my god, I remember that song. It touched my heart. I don't even know why, but it really did. It touched my heart. Oh, I'm gonna cry. Goodness. Okay,
stop. You'll make me cry.
I'm sorry. So I looked it up on YouTube, and I looked it up with the lyrics, and it's all about, you know, take this boat home. You've struggled enough. It's time you won the war. It fit so well with everything that's happened in the last year. Goodness sake, sorry. But it just touched my heart. Like, you have no idea. It felt like it was, like, the universe was, on one hand, giving me a slap upside the head and saying, all right, girl, It's you've been preaching this taking back your light stuff. You need to not just talk the talk, you need to walk the walk. But also it felt like a big hug from the universe saying, I've got you. You're going to be just fine. And everything is going to, oh my goodness.
And the song title is Falling Slowly Once.
Yes. Thank you. But it was kind of like the universe was giving me a hug and saying, you know, I've got your back. I'll sing along with you. It's time to raise your voice. And I really think that Reiki was the beginning of a new chapter in my life of being healthy and healing. And then I think the universe put that song in my path for a reason, because ever since then, I just, whew, so good. It's for real, taking back your light. So I'm done with the crap and the rage and the anger and the all of that. It's time to move on for real.
That's one of the really awesome things about doing Reiki and being attuned to do Reiki, because you are not only are you being attuned with that energy, but it's helping you to clear the clutter and the crap that you've been hanging on to.
And I have been. We all know it.
Yeah, and it just whoosh. It's like getting a spiritual douche, so to speak.
Yes. So I just wanted to share that song with everyone that also might be in any kind of pain or has been struggling, because it's a hug from the universe and it's a hug from me. So I love all of you, and that's my hug from me to you.
So now wipe your tears.
I know, I just did. It just feels like such a cleansing. It really
does.
Yes,
it is. It's powerful. Lots of tears come with that. Yeah.
And I feel so like brand new again. Like wipe the dust off and.
Like a virgin. Touched for the very first time.
Pretty much. Ooh, that's now, but
I'm hearing sirens outside my house. This could be fun.
Oh, and T and I, we were on the radio for like 5 hours last week.
Oh God, that was scary.
Well, I was on Tom's show, then we did our show, and then we did Proximity Paranormal Radio for 3 hours. We were on a roll.
I adore them, but that was a real challenge to do 3 hours of radio.
We had to be entertaining for 3 hours. Normally, we can barely get past one.
And some might question us being entertaining and what. So there you go.
Like last week. Last week, T and I pretty much just called it in. We're like, nah. Let's just get this done. There's shows coming on.
Oh, we sound so pathetic.
I know.
But in our next segment, we have Candy Ayres again, doing her lovely Wisdom for the Ages, and we're doing a movie review of Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters. So we will be back after this break.
And here comes your hug, you guys. The next song is specifically for those of you that need it.
Raise your hope. 2013, Mysteries of the Past will reshape our future. Paradigm Symposium 2013 in Minneapolis, Minnesota, October 17th through the 20th. Speakers will include Scott Wolter of History Channel's America Unearthed, Egyptologist Robert Bavall, Dr. Robert Schock, and many more. Tickets are available online at ParadigmSymposium.com. Mankind's Greatest Mysteries, brought to the present with new understanding. Visit ParadigmSymposium.com.
Okay, T, we suck. Okay.
No, I was waiting for you to come do the comeback, you silly goose.
And I was waiting for you to do it.
We're so professional. And he's probably going to put that in bloopers. I just know him.
He just said this is staying in. Damn it.
So now we are back with the wonderful, fabulous, awe-striking... I'm really playing this up. Candy Ayers, for our Wisdom of the Ages, what do you have for us this week, Candy?
Well, this week is a quote from Gary Zukav and Linda Francis from The Heart of the Soul. And the quote is, when you welcome your emotions as teachers, every emotion brings good news, even the ones that are painful.
And that is so true.
I know for myself it's really true because, you know, I learn so much from all my emotions, but particularly the painful ones because they seem to throb until I get it.
Yeah, and when you stuff down those negative ones and you keep them stuffed down, it changes you energetically where everything just kind of goes to crap. So it's better to bring them up and become aware of them so that you can change that energetic.
I agree. Bring them into the light so you can see them and embrace them
and release
kind of let them.
Them
go.
Yes. Wind. Lisa, you're quiet.
I know. I was trying to think of something profound.
This is like the wackadoo show tonight, but yes.
Well, I know that when I have a negative emotion when I was younger, I tried to just stifle it down and say, oh, it didn't happen, or I'll deal with it later, and just kind of plod, push through it. But now I've learned that if I deal with it right away, or as soon as possible, you know, sometimes you can't just right away, that I actually can release it a lot quicker than years later when I actually get around to dealing with it.
Yeah. When I was younger, I did that a lot too. And, you know, I held on to it and I took it out on myself physically. And I had a lot of anger and I'd be punching walls or signs or whatever around me. And it was very negative energy that hung on to me. And it took me like 20 years of therapy to release that. And it's like, huh, so much better now than when I was younger.
I know I used to break things. That was my thing when I would get very angry or emotionally hurt. And I got to where I got tired of cleaning up the messes of breaking stuff, you know? So then I started breaking them into the sink because it was easier to clean up. And then yep. I started breaking them into a paper bag in the sink.
And there's where her wisdom comes in.
And then all of a sudden, I wasn't having to break them anymore. So I guess I kind of weaned myself away from that.
Yeah, and my knuckles are now smaller than they were when I was younger from punching things. But, you know, you get a lot of nowadays, the younger people, when they're holding in all these strong emotions, and they're starting to do cutting. They cut themselves and stuff so that they can feel because they're just not feeling. And numb, and that's really a negative energetic flow, and it always bothers me when I see somebody who does cutting because I know how much pain that they're holding on to.
Yes, I agree. It makes me very sad, and I, you know, you just want to kind of protect them somehow, and it's good to try to teach about a younger age how to deal with these emotions that I don't know. Women, especially in my age group, because I will be 59 on Thursday.
Happy birthday! Yay!
So we were taught not to show them, to just make everything perfect for everybody else around you, just suck it up and keep going. And then sometimes you just get overloaded and it would come out in all these negative sideways ways that, you know, it'd be like all of a sudden the toothpaste cap would be like the major issue for the day.
Yep. I was brought up in a military family, and my dad was very, you do not show any emotion other than smile on your face. I don't care. So, yeah, I held on to a lot of stuff.
When I was very young, my mother told me, I don't care what you think in your head, but I never want to see it on your face or hear it in your voice.
Yep. I remember standing in the corner at like 3 years old at attention. You know, it was like, oh, this is really normal. But one of the things that I taught my daughter, because I had been so stifled emotionally, is I was big on ruff-ruff and letting out your emotions and to express them. So when she used to have a lot of rage, instead of just making her, you know, shut down and everything, I says, all right, you're pissed off. You go to your room and I want you to beat the living shit out of your mattress and get that anger out. And that little kid would just be beating on her mattress and she'd stop because she was tired. And I go, nope, you do it for another minute.
Got to get past that point. Yeah. Yep. It's good to teach them that it's okay to have these emotions and to face them. I know, I have two grandchildren that have Asperger's where they don't understand facial features. Yep. So to them, it's very frustrating when they think people are upset at them all the time because they don't understand it. So we have learned with cue cards and stuff what facial expressions and stances and different things mean. And they have blossomed since they learned that not everybody's walking around being mad at them. And it's okay for them to be mad.
Yep. Lisa, have you thought anything of profound yet?
Well, I feel kind of bad because when I was raised by my dad and I didn't have to showing my emotions and all of that was never a problem. I feel bad that you guys did that or had that kind of an upbringing and mine was really joyful and I could always show how I felt. It was expected and okay.
That's wonderful.
And that's nothing for you to feel bad about. I mean, our childhood made us who we are today. And, you know, although, yeah, my childhood was painful and was rough, I appreciate it now because it made me a stronger person.
Well, I appreciate it because one of the things with education and going to counseling classes and different stuff taught me to how not to be that way with my children. So when I watch my children with their children, they've broken that cycle. It's just Amen. Absolutely wonderful. And I just, they just blossom. And my grandson will come up to me and throw his arms around me and say, I love you long time. And he'll come up and he'll cry, you know. So it's wonderful to see that they can release those emotions and share them. But I think that by embracing even positive emotions, we're talking a lot about a negative emotion, but mm-hmm. I think sometimes people don't know how to be happy, so they do not know how to embrace the good emotions either.
Yeah, that is something that I struggle with even today, is if things are going too good in my life, I get kind of freaked out by it, and I whether consciously or subconsciously, I will cause chaos in my own life.
We set ourselves up to fail because we're comfortable in that chaos.
Yeah. And that's something that I still struggle with.
So embrace your emotions, everyone out there. Know that they're good, bad, or indifferent. They're part of your growth pattern and part of what you put on this planet to experience. And embrace them and hold them tight and then just let the bad ones go and keep the good ones and pass it on to everybody.
Amen to that, sister.
Candy, your wisdom is always just amazing. I'm so glad that you join us every week.
Well, you know, I found out that it's become a highlight of my week. I look forward to talking to the three of y'all and seeing you. Last week when I missed it, I actually got a little depressed about it. I was walking around going, wow, I don't like this.
So did we, because we totally messed it up so bad. It was like, oh my God.
We tried to be you and failed.
Miserably.
Well, I couldn't be y'all, so we're all good at being each other. being ourselves.
It was awful. Last week's show, with the exception of Scotty, because Scotty was amazing, but the rest of last week's show, T and I are like, meh.
I mean, we really needed something to perk us up, fire under our asses, because we were dragging.
Well, the week before, you were pretty perked up.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, this good times. Good times.
I know.
Well, Candy, again, thank you for coming on. We look forward to, I always want to say seeing you. We look forward to talking with you again next week. Have a great week and air hug.
Great birthday.
Air hug. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye. So now we are going to toss off to a break again. We'll be right back.
You do know toss off is a British term for masturbate, right?
Yes.
Good.
Carl Sagan once wrote that the questioning mind needs to be instilled with both skepticism and wonder, for the universe is a pretty big place, filled with undelved mysteries, sciences, and life that we've barely begun to comprehend. Every month, Intrepid Magazine brings you both the wondrous and the skeptical. Intrepid Magazine focuses on science, metaphysics, UFOs, politics, conspiracies, and unexplained phenomena, all offered up by Intrepid's cadre of writers and contributors, comprised of a host of seasoned authors, pundits, and recognized names in their fields. The universe is indeed a big place, and where other magazines leave off, Intrepid Mag is just beginning. Subscribe to Intrepid Magazine today at www.intrepidmag.com. That's www.intrepidmag.com.
Once out strolling one very hot summer's day, when I thought I'd lay myself down to rest in a big field of tall grass. I lay there in the sun and felt it caressing my face as I fell asleep and dreamed. I dreamed I was in a Hollywood movie, that I was the star of the movie. This really blew my mind, the fact that me, an overfed, long-haired, leaping gnome, should be the star of a Hollywood movie. But there I was. I was taken to a place, the hall of the mountain king. I stood high upon a mountaintop, naked to the world, in front of every kind of girl. There was long ones, tall ones, short ones, brown ones, black ones, round ones, big ones, crazy ones. Something crazy, she said. Just a dream. Now wait a minute, I know I'm lying in a field of grass somewhere, so it's all in my head. And then I heard her say one more time. Hot flames of fire roaring at my back. As she disappeared, but soon she returned. In her hand was a bottle of wine, in the other a glass. She poured some of the wine from the bottle into the glass, raised it to her lips, and just before she drank it, she said, "Take the wine, take that girl, spill the wine, take that girl, spill the wine, take that girl, come on, come on, spill the wine, take that girl, yeah, it's all yours."
Welcome back, my darlings. So far, it has been a really good show, don't you think, T?
Yes. Even though we kind of messed up in a little sections, that's okay. You know, we're not perfect people. Come on.
No. No, we are not. So, Josh has us do a movie review every other week. And we did Hansel and Gretel, or Hansel and Gretel is how they pronounced it in the movie. So we watched it. T, you watched it yesterday?
Yep.
And I watched it today. It was a film based on, isn't it Grimm?
Yep, the Brothers Grimm.
Yep. And it had, there was a lot of people boycotting the movie. Well, pagans were boycotting the movie. And they were bitching about it everywhere. There were boycotts. There was just, it was crazy. They're like, this is just perpetuating the myth Hollywood is always doing about pagans and witches are bad and they're evil and this just makes it worse. And there was just this whole thing, even some kind of pseudo, you can't see my air quotes, but pseudo famous pagans were just ripping it, and they hadn't even seen it, but they were ripping it off before it was just crazy. And of course, all their little minions who, I shouldn't say that was rude, but I'm just going to say it. All their little
slap.
Yes. They were all like jumping on the bandwagon. So it became just like big thing. So T and I watched the movie and we both went in with, I would say an open mind. I did anyway. And I'm sure you did too. So what did you think of the movie?
Okay, first off, I just want to add that the whole title of the movie was Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Right, correct.
Yes, so I actually liked the movie. Yes, they showed witches in a negative light, but they also showed witches in a positive light.
Yes, they had some white witches there.
Yeah, and it turned out that Gretel herself was a white witch and didn't know it. So I really liked that they showed both sides, and you could just change that up to real life where it's just anything evil and then you've got something good. You know, it's just that Hollywood likes to use witches as the evil thing. The sheriff in the movie kind of cracked me up because he reminded me of like one of those, I can't even think of the word. Oh, the extremist, you know, and it's just like burn, burn, burn. We're afraid of something, so we're just going to destroy it, get rid of it. And they start, getting everybody worked up without all the facts. And that was one of the things that Hansel in the movie had prevented them from burning the White Witch.
And that was before he knew that she was a White Witch.
Yeah, yeah. So in that way, you know, I like that. You know, it was an interesting movie. It kept a nice pace. I didn't get bored during it. It had awesome special effects.
Oh, the special effects were so good.
They were awesome. And it just kept me going in the movie and kept my interest. Whereas some movies, like Lord of Salem, I was falling asleep. But this one was actually, I enjoyed it a lot more.
It was very action-packed. At one point they did a Matrix scene, and I was like, I gotta remember that.
I know.
And when he took his shirt off, I ovulated.
Oh my god, that's interesting, because you don't have a uterus.
Or ovaries.
So it was like a miraculous thing that happened during that scene.
It was. Well, it's a magical movie, you know.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But, and, fun, exciting, and I like the, was it an ogre?
Oh, the troll.
Or the troll. He was sweet.
He was. Overall, I would give it a thumbs up. I really enjoyed it. I really did. And as far as all of the haters and the bashers out there, seriously, get a grip. This is supposed to be entertainment. You don't need to make a big deal out of absolutely every single little thing.
I give it, 4.5 broomsticks.
Out of five. I would agree with that. 4.5 broomsticks.
Yep. I just thought the Hansel character was a little like a blonde woman.
Maybe that's why I liked him so much.
That could be. He was just kind of like the hopefully funny sidekick that really wasn't that funny.
Like me.
Yes, and your motorcycle in the background.
Yes, I was just going to say, can you hear that?
yes.
Apparently you can.
Yes, we can.
Well, I've got the windows open. I want to have the windows open as long as I possibly freaking can before it snows. I'm still bitter about last year.
I want the snow and the cold, please.
I don't want to drive in it, and I don't want to be chilly. I just don't like to be uncomfortable. Meh.
You just wear some long johns under your skirt. No problem.
Oh, yeah.
So, So, guess what time it is now?
Here comes
news! Yay!
All right, T, what you got for us?
All right, seeing as we're talking witchy stuff, this cracks me up. Are you ready?
I just
have to visit Africa after this one. Naked witches crash land in Harare. Cape Town. Two Zimbabwean women have been arrested after they were found naked and carrying an assortment of witchcraft-associated paraphernalia outside a house in suburb, according to the report. The woman carried a live owl, two winnowing baskets, which are used for flying in witchcraft mythology, a baboon skeleton, and an orange substance in a bottle, reported on Thursday by newzimbabwe.com. You don't know, that could have been some orange crush. Please. I walk around with skeletons, but there's no big deal with that. The two were charged with engaging in practices commonly associated with witchcraft. A self-styled prophet who is the owner of a house reportedly asked the women what their business was, and they said they came from blah, 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 and were flying over blah, blah, blah when they crashed. Well, amen to that. I really would, please, okay. You got little African men in the tribes that do witchcraft and walk around with stuff like that, but you don't see them getting, you know, arrested. And I'm sure they're found naked all the time, but yeah. That could be racist the way I said that. Sorry.
Maybe a little.
A little African sky clad. So what do you got, Lise?
Okay, best news ever. For me. For me and maybe my daughter, Ashley. For the rest of you, you're going to be like rolling your eyes so you can all bite me. Okay, ready? The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Carlton Gebbia, witch beliefs addressed. Okay, so I love, it's my dirty little secret, and I'm just going to share it with all of you. I love the Real Housewives of everything. And Beverly Hills is my own little addiction. And now there is a pagan on there. Woo! I can't contain myself. Okay, Carlton. I even texted this to Ashley. She's like, oh my God. So Carlton Gebbia is one of the newest cast members of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills in season 4. She'll bring issues regarding faith to the forefront when her practicing belief is Wicca. On September 18th, Gebbia didn't shy away from answering questions from fans and those curious to know if she's a witch. When Carlton was asked by a few different Twitter posters if she was really a witch, she didn't deny being one. The Real Housewives cast member defends her beliefs and suggests that Wicca and paganism isn't all dark. Carlton answered by writing this when someone asked her if she's really a witch. I am, and unfortunately my faith has a stigma attached that does not cast a positive light upon what I practice. Another follower by the name of Jay inquired more about the Real Housewives cast members. He jokes, he's looking forward to seeing witches and spells in season 4. Thank you, Jay, but I won't be pulling a cauldron out anytime soon, XO Carlton wrote back. Carlton had another exchange posted on Twitter from a devout Christian in this instant. Carlton Gebbia 13, well, only because, for example, I'm a Christian and I was taught that dark magic, witchcraft, is evil and satanic, wrote. Carlton tried clearing up any misunderstandings. There are so many misconceptions, but I practice white and believe in the power of prayer. Not all Wicca paganism is dark, she wrote back. If fans watched The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season 4 preview just released the other day, they saw Kyle Richards in a heated argument with Carlton that had to do with her bringing in her Wiccan beliefs. If you don't want to be judged for being a Wiccan, don't act like a witch, Kyle yelled at her. Oh, I can't wait for this season. Then she said, "Don't effing dare me or command me," Gebbia fired back. There's no question that Carlton Gebbia's appearance on the show will stir some drama never seen on Real Housewives. She will intimidate the other ladies and set some kind of fear in them because she thinks she's one of those scary witches. It'll be interesting to see what happens for sure. Brandy won't seem to be intimidated because the two of them kiss passionately, according to the promo. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Season 4 premieres November 4th on Bravo, and I can't wait! Oh my god!
I'm just going to say something real quick, Lise. You are such a girl.
She is! And we need an intervention, because this is getting out of hand.
We really don't. We just don't.
You know, it's just sad when you gotta watch reality shows that really aren't reality. They're
I know.
They're staged. I'm so glad I gave up TV.
And I'm just not deep like that. I like my Real Housewives of insert state or city. I like it. All right, T, you're next. What do you got?
Alrighty. This one puts a fire under my ass, let me tell you. Salvation Army says gays need to be put to death. Right there, you should be getting really pissed. Christmas, it is the time of the year for holiday shopping and also hearing the bell ringers for the Salvation Army collection donations. Those donations provide Christmas dinners, clothing, and Christmas toys for children in need. And my daughter heard this, and she is now staring at me from her doorway because my daughter is a lovely lesbian, and I love her. The charity collects millions of dollars in donations every year, and I can feel her rage coming on, and they distribute it to needy families, seniors, and the homeless in keeping with the spirit of the holiday season. The Salvation Army has expressed their Christian beliefs in the past, stating that they do not accept the LGBTQ lifestyle, nor do they stand up for gay marriage. Salvation Army went on to record recently stating that the LGBTQ parents should be put to death.
What?
As the Bible instructs. Why are the parents supposed to be put to death? I think that might be a typo there, but you know. Yeah. Major Andrew Craby, a Salvation Army media relations director, went on public radio hosted by journalist Serena Ryan to discuss a recent call by LGBTQ parents for a boycott of the nonprofit for its anti-gay policies and beliefs. Ryan questioned Craby about Salvation's story, Salvationist Handbook of Doctrine, the manual used to train the Salvation Army soldiers and members. Several chapters refer to the sin of homosexuality, including a section that cites Romans 1:18-32, which includes an abomination that homosexuals deserve to die. I'm just going to put in here, if you're going to be doing that, then you better start killing off the adulterers and
yes,
daughters who are no longer virgins and blah, blah, blah before marriage. Ryan, according to the Salvation Army, gay parents deserve death.
That is insane.
Yeah.
And the Salvation Army is standing behind that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They do such wonderful things. I'm so shocked that they would come out and just be so hateful.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, you know, the Craby goes on to say, that's part of our belief system.
But you got to realize that the Salvation Army also is a religious organization. Back when I worked at Channel 26, there was a story of a local Salvation Army sergeant or whatever, you know, since they all rank themselves, that the Salvation Army was telling him he was not allowed to move in with his fiance before they got married because she had lost her apartment and she was going to move into his place. And they said, no. That's living in sin, and we will kick you out of the Salvation Army if you are not married and you are living together, because the Bible says so.
Wow.
Yeah, it still to this day infuriates me, actually, that they pick these individuals, I'm not saying all Christians, but these individuals pick and choose what part of the Bible they want to live by or whatever. I mean, and ignore the other stuff.
Sick.
Am I going to have to insert that clip of Reverend Lovejoy from The Simpsons saying, "Have you ever actually read this damn thing? Technically, we can't even go to the bathroom."
Well, can I end the news with a more positive note about the
yes.
Christian faith? Because I've got a great story, and I don't want to miss it.
Go for it.
Church members mistreat homeless man, and the church is unaware it's their pastor in disguise. Pastor Jeremiah Stepik transformed himself into a homeless person and went to the 10,000-member church that he was to be introduced to as a head pastor that morning. He walked around his soon-to-be church for 30 minutes while it was filling with people for service. Only three people out of the 7 to 10,000 people said hello to him. He asked people for change to buy food. Not one person in the church gave him change. He went into the sanctuary to sit down in the front of the church and was asked by ushers if he would please sit in the back. He greeted people to be greeted back with stares and dirty looks, with people looking down and judging him. As he sat in the back of the church, he listened to the church announcements and such. When he was all done, the elders went up and were excited to introduce the new pastor of the church to the congregation. "We would like to introduce you to Pastor Jeremiah Stepik." The congregation looked around, clapping with joy and anticipation. The homeless man sitting in the back stood up and started walking down the aisles. The clapping stopped, with all eyes on him. He walked up to the altar and took the microphone from the elders, who were in on this, by the way, and paused for a moment when he recited, "When the king will say to those in his sight, 'Come you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, and I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.'" Then he said, after he was done reciting, he looked towards the congregation and told them that he had experienced what he had experienced that morning, and many began to cry, and many heads were bowed in shame. He then said, "Today I see a gathering of people, not a church of Jesus Christ. The world has enough people, but not enough disciples. When will you decide to become a disciple?" He then dismissed the service until next week. I just think that walk the walk, they just talk the talk.
Hold on, Lisa, whoa. You totally bombed out. "I just think" was the last thing we got.
Okay. I just think it was a beautiful story. I can't believe that the pastor did that, and I can't believe that his congregation reacted the way he did, but it was such a wake-up call for them. I just thought it was beautiful, and kudos. I would go to his church, and I'm not even a Christian.
I would too, and the reason why I couldn't read that is because I'm crying now.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was beautiful. So beautiful. So that is our show for tonight. T, I'm sorry I made you cry. So it's been a crying night, too. Both cried.
A crying goofy day.
Kind of strange. I would like to give a shout out to one of our listeners. Her name is Tammy, and she works at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Hello, Tammy, darling. So that is our show for tonight. I think we had a good show, way better than last week.
Yes.
Next week, same time, same place for now. And in the meantime...
Is there anything going on next week for you that you know of? Oh, that's right. We're going to Crypticon.
Crypticon this weekend.
Yay!
So that will be cool. And that is the only thing I can really think of off the top of my head. I don't know. So, I don't know, T, do you got anything going on?
Nope, just Crypticon. And an investigation.
Oh, yeah, and an investigation. Oh, so remember always that you are perfect in every single way. You are amazing. Go out there and make a difference, not only for somebody, but also for the world. Go out there and be a positive force in this world of crap, because we can all make a difference. You'd be surprised. T, you got anything? Any words of wisdom?
Nope. Just love everybody like you'd want yourself to be loved.
That's perfect. And remember to always, always, always take back your light. All right, blessed be, my darlings.
Don't forget to toss off.
Cityspell is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.